If you're just joining us, it is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and we're talking about UW-Eau Claire expanding its sports programs. They're adding men's soccer and women's lacrosse. Men's baseball is coming back after it was discontinued in 1995. So this will make 25 athletic teams at UW-Eau Claire with more than 800 student athletes. Were you or are you a student athlete? In what ways did it define your college experience? Do you think UW schools should be adding more sports programs and building out their athletic staffing and infrastructure? We're at 800-642-1234 to join in. Dan Schumacher is director of athletics at UW-Eau Claire. He was named to this post in 2014, and previously he was director of intercollegiate athletics at Chicago State University. Dan, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Well, thank you for having me.
So when you sought to add new programs to UW-Eau Claire, what was behind baseball, women's lacrosse, and men's soccer in particular?
Well, that's a twofold answer. Of course, when you look at the sports array that we were offering at the current time, we also examined where our top 20 feeder schools of enrollment sports module was at. And when you reflect on where our students are coming from general enrollment, one, baseball and men's soccer stuck out, that every single school that fed enrollment to the institution offered those type of opportunities. And a reminder that Division III is a non-scholarship intercollegiate athletic program. All of Division III is. Looking at it from an enrollment initiative and a cost value and return on investment, it's a little different than when you look at a Division II or Division I program because of the overhead of scholarships, maybe a larger geographic print for travel, things like that. So when we looked at that, and then we looked at the greatest emerging sport amongst NCAA all sports, women's lacrosse is the fastest growing sport in America right now, and has seen, we're out of 440 schools, almost 300 of them offer women's lacrosse now. So it was a very strategic move, both from an enrollment initiative. Of course, as you alluded to in your pregame before going on.
I never had it referred to that way, Dan. but I'll take it. I'll take it. Carry on.
Title IX had to be addressed, and one of those things is, as I said, when we look at the top 20 feeder schools, everyone thinks of Title IX as proportionality. If you start a men's sport, you got to start a women's sport. Well, you know, the laws have changed over the last 40 years of Title IX and how you can become compliant with Title IX. And we lean on prong three. And I think any institution that has football, because there's no equivalent to football from a numbers standpoint, from a proportionality standpoint, prong three is about interests and abilities, and are we providing the experience and the offerings in the sports module that have our most interest from our regular student body? So we've been surveying our student body every freshman class for the last 5 years and dissecting that information along with looking at the enrollment initiatives. And a bigger thing is that come 2025, we're all going to be involved with an enrollment cliff, for a bad word to use. Because the enrollment and the birth rates, by the time 2025 comes, it's going to drop off. Well, we may see close to 90,000, a little over 90,000 less high school graduates in the Midwest area. So that poses a challenge for every institution in the Midwest on where are we going to get our students to fill that enrollment.
We're talking with Dan Schumacher. He's director of athletics at UW-Eau Claire, and you can join in. Are you an athlete or a former athlete who plays baseball or lacrosse or soccer? What do you think about these sports and being added to UW-Eau Claire? Join in 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Dan, going back to the federal gender equity law of 1972, Title IX requiring women and men get equal opportunities to participate in sports. The opportunity to play must be equal as well. How did that impact the ability to bring back baseball?
Well, we do have softball. So, you know, there is, you can look for it as a one-to-one. But again, getting back to that, there's a three-prong test. And prong one, says that if you can if you have proportionality, if you're going to lean on proportionality to abide by the law, that's considered prong one. Prong two has to do with propensity of an institution or a school expanding their athletic array. And then number three is the interest and ability. So there's three different ways. You only have to pass one of the three tests to be in compliance with Title IX. Now, again, most people go to Title IX, as you alluded to, as it's an equal situation. What we do is not only do we look at prong three for interest and abilities, but then we do involve making sure that every sport has exactly, you know, the same amount of uniforms, the same amount of facilities, locker rooms, you name it. So there's a total equitable student-athlete experience, no matter what the gender is. So it's a complicated situation, but I've had some general experience in past schools and past experience bringing it to Eau Claire, and it was a way that became, because we have other co-curricular activities that are going to be expanded as well, such as the marching band, such as academic programs. This is all part of a 400 student increase initiative in enrollment to start to prepare for 2025. So it's very strategic. And like I said before, this would be much more difficult to do if we were at a scholarship situation. Madison would have a harder time maybe doing this because of the dollars that would be involved to create an equitable situation.
Well, it seems like UW-Eau Claire is doubling down on athletics as a way to really help with student retention.
It is. We lead the student body in retention. We're at about an 89% retention rate overall. The regular student body is right around 81%. Our graduation rate is 87%, where it's a little bit lower, about 79% for regular students. So when you look at some...
And I think we just...
They are athletes.
Oh, sorry. We lost you there for a moment. Carry on. Yeah.
Yeah, so because of those that data of retention rates being so high and our graduation rates being high, compared to the student body, that data really tells a story that if we're going to bet on something, for lack of better terms, if you're going to bet on what's going to be a successful program to add to and for the enrollment initiative, athletics came to the forefront based on those data points, especially as it relates to having a successful student.
Nate from Stevens Point called in, couldn't stay with us, but Nate thinks athletic programs are important, that they encourage students to keep up their grades, and they create ways for students to maintain healthy social life while doing activities. Dan, where do you find the dollars in order to put up the coaching and the infrastructure and the staffing and the locker rooms and all of that that comes with adding sports and having 25 at your institution?
Well, it's based on enrollment. I mean, again, when we get back to there is no scholarship, so that's a large piece. When all of our student athletes have to pay full fees, full tuition. So our students, our regular student body and the student senate support us.
Oh, and again, I think, go ahead.
And so we had some segregated fees that are allocated to us from the student body. We also have tuition dollars that we generate from those sports that are allocated towards the overall budget to support the salaries and the operating costs. So it's a true business plan on how that works. And with us announcing these three sports, it's a two-year ramp-up. So we're going to have students on campus not playing yet, but paying tuition and fees and self-supporting their own programs that they're coming to play at.
Let's run this by you. Wisconsin lawmakers are working on a bill that would allow college athletes to profit from their status and hire outside agents beginning in 2023. What are your thoughts on this fair pay to play?
You know, I think it's going to become even more complex as we go along. The NCAA is naming three different committees for examining this initiative countrywide, how it's going to affect each division, Division 1, 2, and 3, Madison's issues compared to an Eau Claire or a Stevens Point would be different because I think the price point, we may have less than 1% of our student-athletes, of the 800 student-athletes we have, be affected by this, where you may have a larger percentage of 10, 15, 20% at a Madison for the Badgers. I mean, But I also think that there's going to be interesting ways for which recruitment of student athletes change, because we may not give out scholarships, but we may be able to entice a student athlete, for example, with a sponsorship from a local business, say our starting quarterback that we're recruiting for our football team, or the starting point guard or top swimmer. We're able to secure some local funding from a business where they are the pitch person for that business. And that has been illegal and not allowed in past years' practices. But that's just a small example. But it becomes a big example as we're competing against other Division III schools in the state of Wisconsin. Luckily, we're in a larger metro, more urban type setting in Eau Claire, where it's a large population, and it creates more opportunity for Division III athletes than if you were, you know, maybe in Platteville, Wisconsin, or somewhere more remote. And so it's all the issues are different, but the NCAA is forming three committees to really look at where the issues are for each division.
Dan, thank you for joining us.
You bet. Thank you for having me.
Dan Schumacher is Director of Athletics at UW-Eau Claire. Coming up, we look at gender equity and Title IX, pay equity, and the rights of college athletes. You can join in, 800-642-1234. We'll talk about the Fair Pay to Play Act and its repercussions right after this news update on the Ideas Network.